Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We are so grateful for your encouragement and support. And for the month of May, we want to give a great vote of thanks to Wills Transfer Limited at 3100 Swansea Drive in Ottawa, whose generous support has sponsored all the programs for this month. And I want to thank them and acknowledge their support today. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. If you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website and download the podcast or the MP3 of our broadcast. The scripture today is a very familiar one, I hope. It's a scripture from the Gospel of John, and I'll begin reading it, verse 13. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the Word of God, and it's really the gospel in just a few sentences. And so today, as we take a look into the Word of God, we're actually just going to look at the simplicity and fullness of the gospel as it's expressed in John chapter 3. We'll do that in a few moments, but for now, I'd like to have you listen with me to a song by Jackie Velasquez, and it's based on this scripture that we've just heard. God so loved the world.
One.
Have you ever been asked to express the gospel in one sentence? It can be a difficult thing to do. The Lord himself has given us the Bible with 66 books in it, with tens of thousands of words to express the fullness of his plan of salvation and the way that we can come to know him through Jesus Christ. The gospel is not always entirely simple because it has to do with every part of our life, everything that we do, every relationship that we're in. And God gives us insight and guidelines and direction in all those parts of life through the word of Scripture. But when you have to share the gospel with someone, or when you're trying to get to the core of things yourself, is there one sentence that can express everything that you need to say in that moment? Obviously, John 3:16 has been that sentence for many, many people. It's the Word of God, and it contains so much of the gospel in it that can be readily unpacked and explained so that the sentence doesn't need to stand on its own, but contains pointers to different parts of God's purpose and plan for us. In the last week before this broadcast, I was spending some time at a pastor's conference in Toronto, and it was a little bit unusual for me. Most of the pastor's conferences that I've been to have been very practical, or at least that's what they seem to consider themselves. They want to tell you how to grow your church, how to solve particular problems in your congregation, how to encourage yourself or get involved in encouraging supportive relationships, how to take care of purity in your life, which is an important practical aspect of being a pastor and of being a Christian. But sometimes they seem to be so interested in the current problems we're facing that there can be a neglect of the message of the gospel itself. And I must say I found it very refreshing at the conference I was just at that it wasn't all about how to grow your church, how to build your congregation. It was about who is Jesus and what is the gospel. The question over and over again about what's the proper biblical understanding of who Jesus is and how do we connect anew and afresh with the good news that is the reason for all that we do. There wasn't messages about church growth, but there were messages about sharing the good news with others. And one of the questions that we were faced with was, how would you express the gospel in one sentence? Have you got an answer for that question? If you were perhaps someone to ask you, yes, I've heard John 3:16, how would you put it? I think just about any attempt to express the gospel in as short a form as possible is always going to end up being a paraphrase of John 3:16, because that is the root of the gospel. Here's the message that God has given us. Now, when I was faced with that question in discussion during the conference, I pulled out a phrase or a sentence that I've used in the past, thought about it a bit more, and I put it this way. If I were to express to you, our listeners, the gospel in my own words, in one sentence, it would be this, that God so much desires to spend eternity with you that he sent his only Son to invite you, to prepare the way for you, and to fit you for his kingdom. God wants to spend eternity with us. God so loved the world that he wants to spend all eternity with you and me. There are other people expressing the gospel in single sentences, and each sentence brings some aspects of the gospel or highlights some aspects of the gospel. What do you find most astonishing about the gospel? That God was willing to lay down his life for you? Or perhaps that God could be present entirely, fully God, in his Son? That Jesus Christ is God, and that God became flesh and dwelt among us? Or is it that it's so easy to receive the gospel, that it says that if you receive Jesus Christ, he gives you the right to become children of God? Is that what astonishes you, that it's by grace, operating through faith? That it's a gift of God, not something you obtain by works? Or are you filled with wonder just at the idea of eternal life, eternal joy, a world that is made perfect and a world that is worth spending eternity in. What are the things about the gospel that absolutely astonish you? And what would you express to your friends and neighbors? What would you tell another Christian? And what would you tell an unbeliever if you wanted to express what is closest to your heart in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Knowing the gospel gives us other things to share as well. It gives us the testimony of how God has encouraged us in our life. What would you say to somebody in one sentence about the role God has played in your life and the way that faith has changed your life? Is it a particular struggle that you've had support and encouragement and victory over as you've walked with God? Is it the sustaining power even as you go through difficulties now? Some people have miraculous stories of healing and deliverance. Some people can talk about being at the bottom of the barrel and being picked up by God. What's your testimony about the gospel? On the work of the joy of sharing the gospel comes in these two forms, in the objective, the facts. Here's what God has done. He sent his Son into the world. And then the subjective, here's the difference that this gospel has made in my life. I think each of these are part of sharing the gospel. We can't have one without the other. Some people will hear an explanation of the facts of history, which is so important to ground our faith in reality rather than just imagination. And yet they might ask the question, what difference has it made? What change is apparent because of this gospel you've told me? And another person might hear us share a testimony of an experience we've had or a feeling we feel, an orientation of our heart or of our mind. And they might say, yes, but how can I know it's true? You've experienced this and I can't question your feelings. But I can question whether this is something that anyone can have or believe. I want to know whether this is for me or just for people like you. So the subjective, the personal experience needs to be supported by the facts and testimony of Scripture. And the testimony and facts of Scripture often need to be supported by your own testimony, your own witness to the difference this has made in your life. It's so important that we be able to express the gospel, not only for our own encouragement, but for the sake of those who really do need the love of God in their lives. This is this next song that we're going to listen to from a celebration of hymns is the hymn, New Every Morning Is the Love. And this marries the subjective and the objective. It's the word of Scripture, speaking about how God's mercies are new every morning. And yet it's also the experience of so many believers. Let's listen to this hymn together.
You.
I was speaking earlier this morning about the two questions that we were looking at in the gospel, in the conference that I was at. What is the gospel and who is Jesus? And these two things go hand in hand together, don't they? The gospel is Jesus Christ. The good news is that God has sent Jesus Christ. And as we look at the scripture from John 3:16, that familiar phrase, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We see that it speaks about who Jesus is and how he comes to bring good news to us. I love that it begins with the declaration that God so loved the world. In Scripture, we have the phrase, the world, used in two different ways. Sometimes the world refers to the world as it is today, with powers opposed to God, working in rebellion against him, with disease and sickness rampant, with people lonely and isolated, hurt and hurting. The world of human desires and appetites being pursued without any restraint, without any consideration for their neighbor or for the will of God. That's a world that we're told to avoid, a world that we're told to not participate in, not to fulfill our worldly desires. But then throughout Scripture is also the world as the creation of God. Everything that was made beautifully and wonderfully by God. Each person, even in this fallen world, is loved by God, even as the circumstances of their conception or birth may actually come in horrible situations. They may be born into difficult circumstances. They may, in fact, be born with congenital problems and difficulties that don't reflect the goodness that God originally intended for the world. But God loves his world. God loves each person in it. He loves his creation, even the inanimate objects, the stars spread across the skies. The word of Scripture, in Jesus' own words, declare that he sees the sparrow when it falls. He loves his world. He loves you and me. And when Jesus says that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, the world in particular means you and me, means humanity. God so loved us that he sent his Son so that we might believe in him. It also suggests in this little phrase, God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that our salvation, our transformation into the image of Jesus Christ is something that benefits some beyond humanity, that benefits the whole earth. God so loved the world that he came and saved fallen humanity through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. The Gospel of John here declares that Jesus is unique. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a godly man or a seer. He's not like anybody else who has ever lived on this planet. He is God's only begotten Son. He is the unique gift of God to us. He is, in fact, as we find in other declarations within John's Gospel and throughout the Scriptures, he is, in fact, a person of the Trinity. He is divine. He is fully God, even as he is fully human. God sent someone irreplaceable and precious to us, and he gave him to us. The Scripture just before, verse 15, says that the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And there, the Scriptures speak of how God gave his Son. He gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice. God, in the flesh, was willing to die in order that we might live. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, his Son, to us. And then it speaks about how we may receive this gift. It doesn't say that if you're good enough, you can receive this gift. You can earn this gift somehow. You can't earn gifts. You can only earn wages, Paul says at another part of Scripture. But instead, God gave his Son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The way to gain salvation is to put your trust in Jesus Christ. The word believe here means to believe, to trust, to receive, to welcome, that the one who looks to Jesus as Lord and Savior is the one who receives this new life. God so much wants to spend eternity with us that he sent Jesus' Son to invite us into that eternity. And he also sent his Son to give us a way to receive that invitation. He sent his Son to open a way that his death on the cross, the giving of the Son, would enable us to have eternal life. We believe in him, and based on his goodness, based on God's willingness to save, we find ourselves forgiven and free and recipients of new life. The gospel includes this phrase that whoever believes in him will not perish. Death is something that doesn't need to be debated when talking about the Christian message. Everyone recognizes that death is a reality that human beings face. Scientists even speculate about how the universe itself may die given enough time, whether it will collapse into a black hole or extend forever, cooling off until there's no life and no energy left to be expressed through starlight and radiation and the warmth of planets and the growth of life. Everything will die apart from God's work. Humans are particularly good at pretending that everything's okay, at acting as though death doesn't really mean anything. But when we take some time to reflect soberly, we see that to perish is our natural destination, that without some change, without salvation, all human beings will perish. And so the good news does remind us of something we try to forget. But in reminding us, it simply reminds us in order to tell us that there's an alternative, that those who receive Jesus, who are willing to be transformed and fit for heaven by the power of God in Jesus Christ, these people need not perish. They can have eternal life. Elsewhere, Paul says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He declares that everyone needs salvation. But he says that those who receive Jesus Christ are able to be fitted for heaven, are able to receive eternal life as a gracious gift from God. You may be hearing this message for the first time. There's always the chance that someone tunes in and hasn't been listening before and hasn't heard the gospel spelled out through these words of John 3:16. You yourself may be wondering if you can receive Jesus Christ, and you can. It's as simple as acknowledging your sin, acknowledging your need for a Savior, and recognizing that Jesus Christ is the one sent for your salvation. To accept him as Lord means to seek to follow him, and as you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, you are asking him to begin the transformation of your life. And I hope that you have the opportunity to do that today. But let's take a moment now to pray. Almighty God, I want to thank you that we do have the opportunity to receive eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, may you forgive us our sins and transform us in every respect so that we can be filled with the love that has saved us and live out, obedience to your word and the fullness of your grace. Almighty God, for those who are receiving you at any time, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just continue to fill them with love and joy and peace as they come to know you and your word. And for us who have received you before, may you freshen in us our love for you so that we might share the good news, that we might tell others about the facts of your salvation and the difference that it's made in our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. We do thank you because you keep us on the air week by week. We want to encourage you to support our ministry financially if you can. Did you know that Good News Ministries has only one major cost? The four hosts, Brent Russett, George Sinclair, Juliet Schimpf, and myself, are volunteers, and so are the people who manage our website, organize our events, and operate our board. Your gift can help us continue to meet that one vital expense, the cost of broadcasting, which enables us to reach you and over 7,000 listeners in the Ottawa River Valley. You know, this month, I've already said it, but I want to say it once again. We want to express our gratitude to Wills Transfer Limited at 3100 Swansea Drive in Ottawa for their generous support that is covering the cost of our broadcast this month. As for you, be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, I would like to have you listen to a song. The song is called "And This Is Love," sung by the group GLAAD from their album The Acapella Project. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love.
And this is love, not that I have first loved you. And this is love, that you have first loved me. And you gave up your life, one perfect sacrifice. And this is love, that you have first loved me.
You did not wait for me to make myself unworthy. You did not wait for me to make a good and righteous stand.
For there was nothing I could do in sin I had done. And this is love, not that I have first loved you. And this is love, that you have first loved me. And you gave up your life, one perfect sacrifice. And this is love, that you have first loved me.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.